I want to welcome Jesse to share, and I just asked, you know, I know God's going to bring a wonderful message, because through this whole journey of visiting preachers and bringing messages, it's such a personal message that God lays on that individual's heart to bring and share. And I just, you know that I pray that our hearts are open to receive that truth that Jesse will share. So Jesse, thank you.
All right. Well, first off, I want to just thank everybody for being so loving and welcoming to myself and my family. First day we came in here, I know the Lord was moving, and I could just feel it. I don't know why everybody was crying. I said, oh God, what are we doing here? You know, what do you want to do? We want to be open to that, God, and be ready for your kingdom to come through this place, in this church, through these people. And I just want to give honor to Pastor James and Tracy and the elders of the church and all the faithful people that hold this thing together and show up week after week and keep the faith and fight the fight. We hear all the testimonies and all the things that people are going through, and that this church is a praying church and a church that stands on the Word and is not moved, and it's not going to give up or get offended easily or jump ship, that we're in this for the long haul. We heard it through many wonderful testimonies of people coming out of the hospitals and the sick bed, and God restoring them so they can come be in the house of God again. And I know that prayer works, and I know that when the people get together and call on the name of Jesus, things got to change. And that's why I'm here, still 20 years later. I came to the Lord when I was 18, and I knew that I couldn't fix myself up, I couldn't help myself, and there's nothing I could do. And I felt like taking my own life, and I felt like nothing I had ever satisfied. So when you tried everything else, try Jesus. And I've even heard of testimonies this morning of people that have loved ones that are out there that are still not right with God. And I want to say, keep praying for them. Labor and travail in prayer for them, that God would open up their eyes. He's able to do that. When we've talked every word that can be spoken and sat down and gave them chapter and verse week after week, and they were raised up in a church and came up in Sunday school, know this, that the good seed is planted in their heart, and that seed will produce fruit. So may you water that seed with your tears. Bathe it in prayer. Cry out to God and let them know, I don't want my son or daughter to miss the kingdom. I don't want them to go to a devil's hell that's not prepared for them. I want them to be in the kingdom of heaven, because this life's going to fly by. And our days are short and full of trouble. We've known that. And I just want to be right with God no matter what happens. I want Him to say, well, son, the portion of faith that I've given you and the things that I've called you to do, when I stand before Him in judgment, and you too, I want Him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Because in the end, that's all that's going to matter. When jobs and knowledge and education and houses and lands and everything passes away, then we'll stand before the Maker of heaven and earth and give account for the life that we lived. And I want to stand before Him in confidence and say, Lord, I know I'm not perfect. I know I don't always got it all together and I make mistakes. But I want to give a good effort. I want to go all the way. I want to keep the faith until my dying day, that I know that you're going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You ran the race, fought the fight, and preach the gospel to the people that were in your life. And you weren't ashamed of the gospel. That you weren't ashamed to share it with the people on your job and in your neighborhood. To say, you know what? There's a preparation that needs to happen before your death comes. And we make preparations for retirement. We make preparations for our own health and all kinds of things. And we go to colleges and universities to prepare for our careers. But what about the kingdom of heaven? What about the people in our lives? Will you labor in that labor? Will you do that work? Is it a worthy work to do when God calls a man to it? Even as Dennis was speaking this morning, and I heard Pastor James preach on it, to cry out for the people in our lives. Because if we don't, who will? My God. It's a sobering thought. Every time I get caught up in my own business, and my own things, and my own working, and my own plans, there's always a reckoning that comes where I know that I can't miss prayer. I can't miss that time to search God's words for His truth. And like Dennis was talking about, that's that firm foundation of the prophets and the apostles. That's how we got it more than 2,000 years later. From people like you carrying that word from generation to generation. From all the sweet people that go in that Sunday school and raise up godly children and give them a word to stand for. That's a worthy work to do. That's why we're here as the house of God, as the family of God. That we all have different callings and abilities and things that we can do. But let us do what we can do, right? Can we at least give God that? We all know how to work, right? We know how to show up on that job week after week, year after year. But can we show up in the house of God? Can we show up in the secret place of prayer where we cry out for the people in our lives? Can we do that? Amen. I'm going to do that. And I don't think it's too much asked for when God saved me. My wretched soul. I was a man most miserable. And when He gave me that joy, it's real joy. It's nothing you could drink, smoke, put in your body. More than the joy of the Lord. I still got a reason to praise Him 20 years later. And we've had crazy situations. And we've had church hurt and all kinds of crazy stuff. But that wasn't God. And I know enough that I'm a flawed man that I should give a little grace sometimes too. To give people time to get it together. And I want to do that. So... Praise God. I'll tell you what, the Word of God is so good. You can be downcast and downtrodden. You can be beat up and going through it. But when you get the Word of God inside of you, it just reminds you, it's that firm foundation. We know that storms and trials of life are coming. But if you build on this Word right here, I'll tell you what, when I came to this Word when I was 18 years old, and I bought myself an old King James Bible, I'm not much of a reader. I'm not an intellectual. I'm just a regular man. But the Word started popping off the pages. I'd read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I seen this Jesus walking in the earth, proclaiming the gospel. It shook me to my core. I said, my God, I buried four of my friends by the time I was 18. And I stood over their caskets. And I said, God, I can't be too caught up in my life. Too caught up in being the man. Too caught up in having this girl and that girl and that car and this job and this amount of money and these pair of shoes. It's nothing. Because when the grave comes, it doesn't discriminate against anybody. It doesn't care if you're rich, poor, black, white, or anything like that. That day's coming. And God, I want to be ready for that. And everything else you give me in the meantime is a blessing. Every day above that ground that you give us, I'm going to praise Him. Because if I don't praise Him, all the creation will. The trees are going to wave their hands. The waves are going to crash. All of creation is going to point to His greatness and majesty. But will His sons and daughters, who are made in His likeness and His image, at least praise Him? When you sweet people come up here and sing those old time hymns, and I know that was the time where people were consecrated to Him. They had a life and a respect for God. Not like it is today. People think it's a light thing to come to church. It's a light thing to read the Bible. My goodness, it's preparation for eternity. And I think we ought to have that respect still for the house of God. That's why them old time songs get me. It reminds me of a time that I haven't lived through, but we got to get back to. Because in the last days there'll be a shaking. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So if you're faking, you're not going to be making it. You've got to go all the way. You got to hold fast to those convictions that you got on the inside. Don't change it for nobody. Young people, I don't care what they do in your schools. I don't care what media is showing you. Hold fast to the faith. Why don't we promote good things these days? If you watch Hollywood and movies and media, we're promoting men who can be with many women and all these situations and that one lone ranger that's out there being a hero. Whatever happened to good men that will stay with one woman and raise a godly seed and be men of the word and men of prayer? Whatever happened to that? Why don't we preach on that? Why don't we say, hey, why don't we put that up on pedestal, give double honor to those that labor in the word for the sake of their families, for the sake of the people in their church? My goodness, those are the heroes. What about all the Sunday school teachers? What about all the godly teachers that teach in these little country schools that even though all the teaching and everything is indoctrinated with all these other things, they still teach the kids about Jesus? We heard about some of those testimonies of this little Bethel school, and the teachers, they're going to teach Jesus anyway. And may you have the courage to do that in a day and age where there's much opposition, where the Bible and the principles and the things that this country is built on are out the window. We've compromised, and we've went after all kinds of sexual immorality, and we've turned our back on God, but not everyone. And if God could turn the world upside down with 12 simple men, some fishermen and some tax collectors, could He do it with us? I think He can. So praise God. Even though we're small, we're mighty. And I thank God that this place is a place of prayer. It's a place of the Word. All right, that was the opening. Guys, bear with me. Since the day that Dennis asked, I've been sweating this every day. I said, my God. I said, I ain't all that smart. My memory's not that good. And I can't quote Scripture like some people. But help it be right. Help it be in demonstration of Your kingdom coming, Lord. Let me be decreasing every day and You increase, Lord. Let something come forth that will help somebody this week. Let that passion and that desire. Let me tell you what. If we were out in the world at one point, and we've go to our rock and roll concerts, and we've gone to clubs, and we've done all kinds of other things, were we shy about that? Did we ever hold back? Would we shout and dance and act like fools? For what? But we come into the house of God and we hold back. In our lifestyles and on our workplaces and our neighborhoods, we're ashamed to preach the gospel. But why? When we were in sin and in the world, we didn't hold back at all. We were wild. We were all in. But what about this gospel? My goodness, we got to come back to that. I got kind of a funny, and I don't want to play games with the Word of God. But I got kind of a funny story today, and it was humbling. And I think Robert will probably have an appreciation for this one. We're calling this one Too Many Roosters. I think we have an appreciation for this here. The day and time came when I had to process some chickens at our house. We had about 13 roosters. One of them was good. The other one were terrors, causing all this dysfunction with the flock. And while I'm processing and doing all the things that I have to do, this thought came to me. Too many roosters. How many day and age do we have everybody? You can watch it in the music. You can watch it in the media. You can watch it in politics. You can watch it in all forms of things. I work in a company that's a global company. I see it when people are trying to climb the corporate ladder. They will fight and claw their way to the top and do anything to get there. We got too many roosters. Like I said before, why don't we get back to the Bible? Why don't we reorganize what we say we should give honor to? I think good men that raise godly children and sacrificially give for their families and go work those jobs to pay those bills, and all the mothers that raise them little children and stay at the home and raise them up good and raise them up right, those are the heroes. Those are the ones that are raising children for our future. Why don't we give them honor? Why don't we give people like that honor? Because we got too many roosters. And even throughout history, roosters have always been a sign of fighting and pride and being puffed up in their feathers. If you ever watched them fight with each other, they'll come up and puff all their feathers up and they'll be fighting for all the hens. And it's almost quite comical. And I want to talk about this one rooster we got. His name's Woody. And the only reason I'm giving this to you because it's going to help this be memorable. And the Bible's enough. But this rooster named Woody is so brave, he'll stand off against my SUV when I'm driving. If I get near the flock, he'll stand there in full spread. He's a bold, courageous rooster. He's jumped on our dog before when he was attacking the other chickens, right? He's amazing. So I want to talk about Woody. He's not a bully. He's not aggressive. He's confident to protect the flock. He protects the flock from predators and warns them of danger. And you parents these days, watch out for your children. I don't think it's too good to give them smartphones at early ages. I don't think it's too good to let them be on the internet without any supervision. I think we should be watchful. I think we should be vigilant. I think we should know what kind of things are coming into our children. Don't be ashamed of that. We're not called to be their friends. We're called to be their fathers and mothers. We need to have vigor. So this rooster is physically strong too. He's one that can defend the flock. And you men, if somebody would ever break into your house, would you throw your wife or your children in front of the perpetrator? My God, I hope not. Men, be strong. Be courageous. Don't be shaken. Don't be full of fear. Stand your ground. and be a provider. This rooster would call all the hens over to the place where all the good food is. You could always hear them crow. Shouldn't we be willing to share good things? Shouldn't we be willing to provide for one another and give to one another and live a life of generosity and be good to one another? That's what we should do. Now, the other 11 roosters had a different destiny. Woody's still there. He's still doing his job. The other ones were aggressive and abusive. Have any of you ever been in a bad relationship where you were treated wrong? Has anybody ever hurt you? Do you know what that feels like? It's under bad leadership. And hurt people hurt people. Were they self-serving? Do they not care about the flock? Are they prone to cause disunity and do not warn the flock of danger? So if any of you have ever been under leadership or in a relationship like that, you know how it feels. But my God, we got to get back to Bible. Doesn't Jesus give us the concept for these things? He said, it's not the way you think. And I'll hit some scripture up right after this. And we're going to cover some things to redefine this concept of greatness in this day and age. The Bible says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. It's quite backwards. When I think of all the ways that you could serve and all the ways that you can give and all the ways you could put other people first, that's greatness. Not, hey, look at me out front. And it almost seems counterproductive to even talk like that because I'm up here today. I said, God, let them not see me. Let them only see you. Let this be something of value because I don't want to be up front. I'd rather be sitting back there, come in here pretty much carefree, willing to hear the word. But today it's time to go to work. So I want to be prepared for that and do that. And that's why I'm here today, to give you a good word that will strengthen you. And I figure, well, at least if I give you the Bible, if you're mad at me or it doesn't go over well with you, it's just the Bible. So... the Bible offends me. I wish that I could read that book and carry on with my life the way I want to, but it doesn't. Because it's a word that is sharp. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It discerns my thoughts. It takes what's of Jesse and what's of God. And it says, no, you've been mixing it up a little too much. It's time for you to decrease and God's will to increase. So we're going to get into the word today. So if you'll follow along with me, I won't go long and I'll try to keep this simple for you because I want it to help everybody. Okay, I'm going to start here in Jeremiah. Hold this here. So in the book of Jeremiah, Israel was going through all kinds of crazy stuff. They were being led captive. Their whole army was destroyed, and they were being ready to be led captive and to be conquered by Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar, who God called his servant, was doing his bidding. And it was a mighty slaughter. It was a bad time for them. And God was continually angry with them because they kept making idols of wood and stone and things that were to be worshipped but had no power. And God said, why? They can't deliver you from anything. Having ears, they hear not, and eyes, they see not. They have no power to do anything, but I'm the living God. I'm the one that split the Red Sea. I'm the one that wanted to bring you into the land of promise, not these dumb idols that you've created. And it's easy to make dumb idols. Okay? We can make those out of careers. We can make those even out of marriage. Whenever we put anything before God, we can make an idol out of that. But God, may we seek your kingdom first. And I know you'll add unto us all the things that we need. And as we hear all those prayers for provisions, I know God will give jobs and healings and all the things that we ask. But it says here in Jeremiah chapter 3 and 15, but I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And I know if you get on social media today and you get online and you watch some preachers, you can find pretty much anybody to tell you what you want to hear. You can get a feel-good sermon. You could walk out of the building just as sinful as you came in. But my God, if we've forsaken the reason why we gather and the reason of preaching, it's to get you ready to meet God. But God said, don't worry. I'll send somebody to you. I'll give you somebody. Yeah, if you read the book of Jeremiah, it's very painful. And he says, I'll give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. In another place in the scripture, it says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Have you ever struggled with something and had a hard time with something? Sometimes we fight against God's design. Sometimes we fight against his purpose and his will and his way. But we get in line with it and God blesses it. That's where I want to be. Okay, the second verse that I have here is in the book of Matthew. Starting in chapter 9, in 36 to 38. Now picture this. Jesus comes to his own, And he sees the great need. And how many times did he heal the multitude? How many times did he cast out devils? How many times did he raise the dead, open the blind eyes and the ears of the deaf? He had compassion on his creation. He came to his own and his own received him not. And he came there and said, my goodness, you guys are in bad shape, but I'm here to save you. I'm going to read here starting at verse 36. And when when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And you know who the laborers are? It's you guys. You guys might be the only ones that will go to that job, live in that neighborhood, have those family members, have those old-time friends that you knew that would preach Jesus to them. You might be the only laborer, so let's labor. All right, we're going to go forward here to Matthew. Okay. Actually, hold on here. All right, so we're going to go to Acts 2 and 36. And I asked myself, God, what does a move of God look like? What did it look like in the Scripture? It wasn't of the schemes of men. It wasn't of the intelligence of vain philosophies or traditions of the world. It was in power and demonstration of the Spirit. And in Acts chapter 2, it says, we'll start at verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know, assuredly, that God hath made the same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ. Did you ever feel that moment of repentance where you messed up? Did you ever mess up as a kid and you knew Daddy knew about it? And then you said to yourself, what must I do? So Peter was preaching to them. This is the first sermon that came out here. And he said, now when they heard this, and they realized that they crucified the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission or forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, because you're going to need the Holy Spirit to be holy in an unholy day and age. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to love your enemies and those that persecute you and speak all manner of evil against you. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to do right on your job when everybody's fighting you and against you and talking trash. You're going to need that to overcome. So the promise. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to as many that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words he did testify and exhort them, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation or crooked generation. And they that gladly received the word were baptized the same day, and were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And when I read that, that's powerful. When you say, God, how do you want to move? How do you want to do this? How do you want to add unto the church? How do you want to grow? Because you take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And you would that all men would be saved. So are we doing it like you did it? Are we doing it like the apostles did, the ones that walked with Jesus? And what does that look like? And what's the effect of that? All right, we're going to keep moving here. Okay. All right, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And this is Paul talking to Corinth. And if Paul was anybody ever qualified to talk about the law, it was him. If he was one that was able to dance and wrestle with complicated issues, it would be Paul. And Paul came to them and said this. And he said, and I, brethren, came to you, not with excellence of speech of wisdom and declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save or except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, look, guys, here's the deal. There's the Savior that came, and he died for you so you can get right with him. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. And your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, of the princes of this world, that they come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. When Jesus came, who was he always angry at? You guys know the Pharisees, the church folk, which I am one of them. And sometimes I think I know and I realize how much I don't know. I say, my God, help me to become like a little child. You know what little kids do? They don't argue over differences all the time. They get along. They're quick to forgive. They're good to play along. They're good to be together in groups. Sometimes us adults, it's so easy to get offended. It's so easy to say, that didn't rub me right. You know what? We need to give a little grace to each other. We need to love each other a little more and give ourselves time to grow, whether we have hurt or dysfunction in our lives. May God help us. Okay, back here at 9. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save or except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. We're different. We're sanctified. We're set apart. When God saved us, he did something new in us. I know that for real. That's my testimony. I wasn't the same after I came to God. And I didn't want to go back to the world. I didn't want to bring old things back in. But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which is of man's wisdom which doth teach, but which is of the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things as spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Did you ever try sharing your testimony or a Bible verse with somebody who was an unbeliever? It's foolishness to them. Oh, you're a little Bible thumper. You're one of them church folks. You like to go to the little building every Sunday. And they'll mock the things of God. But my goodness, if they understood the gravity of things, would they mock? We need to pray for people like that. But the natural man does not receive these things. It's foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things. God is able to give you discernment. In this day and age where we live in a complex society, where politics of things and school systems and all these things that influence our children and our minds, God will give us the discernment to navigate through those things to see what is of him and what is not. If you stand on his word, and if you build your life on that rock, when those storms come and those trials come and it gets hard, that house isn't going to fall. It's going to stand. The Bible says, woe to those that are offended. It's easy to get offended. Somebody might not like that you serve Jesus when you preach unto them. Don't be offended. Understand, there was a point in time where we all didn't want God. I was doing my own thing. I don't need God. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And that's this topic that I'm working on right here. Is when we step out in any kind of leadership, whether it's in marriage, whether it's in our families, whether it's in our workplaces, whether it's in the local church, may we do this from a place of sacrificial love. May we do this as a place of servitude, putting others above ourselves, not say, hey, I get the limelight, I get the microphone, I get to stand up front, I get everybody to pat me on the shoulder. I've been there before, and I don't want that. That's meaningless. It's vanity. Like the Apostle Paul said, all the things before me, all of my accolades. He was a Pharisee. If you wanted to argue scripture with him, he would school anyone. He would stand in the public places and debate. And he said, it's all for the dunghill. He said, I met this Christ Jesus, and he changed it all. And that's all I know. I'm going to preach Christ crucified. Okay. All right, I want to go to Matthew chapter 20 and 26 to 28. So I want to talk about greatness in the kingdom. I want to talk about how to make it count. So Jesus was talking to his disciples, and right before this, the mother of Zebedee's children, which I believe is John and James, came to Jesus and said, hey, how do my sons get a good spot with you in the kingdom? I would assume that maybe she was a very keen businesswoman and knew how to negotiate. So she came to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, what's the scoop here? How do I get my two sons, one on the right, one on the left? And the other disciples were moved with indignation. I see this in the corporate world. Yeah, how do I, not rather, what can I give?
So the other disciples were moved with indignation. We're here at verse 25. But Jesus called unto them and said, "You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and that they are great exercise of authority upon them. Does the world have any trouble exercising authority over you? Do the police have any problem pulling you over when you drive too fast? Does your boss have any problem telling you what you need to do and if you're not doing it right? They exercise authority that's given. Does the military have any problem keeping you in line? They don't. They understand authority, but Jesus says, it's not like that. Here, I'm going to give you the concept." And he said, Jesus called them and said unto them, or we'll start here at 26, "But it is not so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be the minister or the servant or the slave of all." And what I love is how God will reveal his truth in creation. I think about all the mothers that raised up children. My goodness, that's greatness in the kingdom. No sleepless nights, dealing with sick children, taking care of them whether you work jobs or not, you're always working. You don't have a set bedtime. You're always cooking, cleaning, all the list of things to do. That's why I want to give honor to my wife and all that she does, because I respect that. And I tell people, I think I have the easy job. I just go to the factory and fix things and come home. So I respect that when somebody will take on a heart of servitude. And he said, "Let it not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. And even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life for a ransom for many." Think about that. Jesus said, there's no greater love than this, that a man will lay down his life for his brothers. He did all a man could physically do when he hung on that cross and bled out and died for the sins of us. Not only us, but the whole world. My God, where would I be without him? I'm so thankful. That's why we come in here and sing these songs and praise him every day. I got a reason to praise God because he's so good and merciful. And it showed us as an example how we should be towards one another. We shouldn't say, I'm better, I'm smarter, I got a bigger house, a better job. That's nonsense. It's foolery. We should all support each other and strengthen each other, edify each other, be willing to distribute and help one another. That's greatness in the kingdom of God. That's laying up for you eternal riches. Everything else, moth and rust will decay. And if anybody's ever worked on equipment or old cars, you know what I'm talking about when it comes to rust. Amen. It's temporary. So I want to recap here. I don't want to go too long. But I want to go back to talking about this very brave rooster that we have that as is because of his actions and his sacrifice is alive today and has a very big flock of hens to be with and a very great life and he eats well and has a great time. So I want to encourage all you that aspire to be anything in the Lord. Do it for others. Do it because many people will miss the kingdom if you don't preach Jesus unto them. Be the one that preaches to them with no words. Do good to people that don't do good to you. Pray for them that use you and cause all kinds of trouble in your life. God will say, take the higher road. He said, you're the salt and the light. Don't lose your savor. Don't lose that heavenly flavor that you have about you, that you're so loving and caring and compassionate and forgiving and all these things. Don't lose it. Don't grow cold. Don't get bitter. Keep walking with Jesus. So I want to close today, and I have one last scripture for you. It's 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. I'm sure you know this. This is the love verse here. It talks about what love is like. We can apply this in our marriages. I can apply this in my marriage. I need to do this. When I come home and it's been a long day and things aren't going right, and there's bills to pay and there's things to do, am I this in my home? The Bible says love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Yeah? Lord, help me. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. Think about that rooster. Always trusts. Always hopes. Always perseveres. I want to be the type of leader that God says, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to do it the world's way. I don't want to bring in all this other mess. I want to do it God's way because His way works. And when I look at creation, when I look at the heavens and the earth, He knows what He's doing. He's a lot smarter than I am. I'd do good, and we'd all do good to say, you know what, God, let's adopt your way, and I'll put my way over here because it's not working that good. And that's why I thank Him. And I'm so glad to be able to come here and share with everybody today. I hope this blessed you. I hope it gave you something to chew on and digest this week. And I hope that that you guys will be the salt of the light. That you guys will be that beacon of hope and that lighthouse that's out in an ocean while all the waves are crashing for all the people around you and are seeing you standing your ground and not moving. You need to be that way. Be that tower. Be that refuge. Does anybody have friends and family members that only call when it's going bad? Why is that? Because they know you're solid in the faith. Stand your ground and don't be moved. Keep the faith. Run the race. Fight the fight. And let's go all the way. All right, guys. That's all I have for you today. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for listening. I hope that was something of value to you, and we'll bless you for this week.